Well, good morning. Welcome to all of you, and a very special welcome, especially on this new year. So happy new year to everyone. Welcome as well to those visitors we have with us here and those visitors who are watching online. Wherever you are, whenever you may be watching, whoever you may be with, know that you are all very welcome this morning. We begin worshiping God by singing hymn 326, As with Gladness, Men of Old, hymn 326. Our call to prayer this morning comes from the New Testament book of 1 John. He writes, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Let us pray. Most holy God, as we who gather on this day remember your great gift of love, let us come close with reverence and with joy, knowing that in the light of this new year, your great light, the Word made flesh, will shine upon each new day the light of mercy, grace, and peace. As we strive to follow your love and live into that light, we are grateful that whether in light or darkness, through Christ, you meet us wherever we are, and you continue to draw us closer to your presence. on this day as we rejoice still in the wonder of your birth on Christmas, while celebrating the coming season of Epiphany, we give you thanks for the coming of the light and ask that you might guide us in the same way that you led the Magi so long ago. For so often, Lord, we are distracted. Often our eyes and our hearts turn from others and from you to focus on our own fears, our own worries, or our own desires. At all times, Lord, help us to follow your light. So often, Lord, we are faithless. We put our hopes in our own strengths or in our own systems. We lean on financial systems and put our hopes in worldly leaders and in ideologies rather than trusting in you. In all things, Lord, help us to follow your light. So often, Lord, we fail to love. We look at others in judgment, and we have a false and frail view of ourselves. We fail to help those in need. We hold back from speaking up for those who are on the margins. We resist following your call, even when we hear you speak. In all we are, Lord, help us to follow your light. Gracious God, today and every day we ask your forgiveness. And by your grace, today and every day, we know we have your forgiveness. Help us always to remember the hope that we have. Help us to remember that the Christ who was born to us in a manger is the same Jesus who died for us on a cross and is the same Lord who rose again in order to give us life. Through his birth, through his life, and through his death, and through his resurrection, in Christ, you assure us that nothing can separate us from your love. Remind us always of that promise and give us grace to live in the light of your forgiveness. And now, lifting our voices to you, give us the boldness to pray as Christ taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Just a few intimations this morning. First, you'll notice that I am alone this morning. Gary is enjoying a very well-deserved Sunday off, so I hope wherever he is, hopefully he's still asleep right now and just having a lazy morning, but we wish him well today. But also, I want to wish you all a very happy New Year once again, and personally thank you, since I wasn't here last week right after Christmas, just to thank you for the kindness and the generosity that you showed to myself and my family over the festive season. You truly helped to make this, our first Christmas here in Scotland, a very special one. So thank you all so much for the welcome and the kindness during this season. Just a reminder as well that there will be a further time of fellowship following the service. So please stick around and stay out of the cold and join us for a warm cup of tea and a biscuit after worship. Also, with it being the beginning of a new year, there are lots of opportunities through the church to try something new. So in the main vestibule of the church, you will find rotas for all sorts of things. You'll find a rota for volunteers to help serve coffee and tea following services. You'll find a rota, a sign-up to donate flowers for 2026. And these flowers, of course, truly enhance our worship. So both thank you to those of you who have signed up and donated those in the past, and thank you to those of you who will sign up and donate those in the future. Also, there is a rota for participating in the services through doing the Bible reading as well in the vestibule. The rota covers the months of January to June, so if you would like to participate in worship in that way by reading the lessons, reading the scripture, that is a very wonderful way to participate and very helpful as well. So you can sign up for the Sunday of your choice. So in addition to those things, a few things in the parish halls. at the Parish Hall that are happening this week. The craft group will meet Thursday at 2. Everyone is welcome to join in that. And there will be a soup and sandwich lunch in the Parish Halls on Saturday at 12 noon. So everyone is invited as well to come along and bring a friend. Sunday Club will resume next Sunday as the kids all get back to school, something I know they're all very excited about coming tomorrow. Sorry to mention that, kids. But last and certainly not least, if you or someone you know would like to be included in the prayers or be prayed for, please write your name on a tag. There's a prayer tree in the McMichael Chapel just outside in the vestibule. You can write your name on one of those tags, include it on the tree, and you will be prayed for by members of the congregation. So I think that is all the intimations I have. So if there are children that would like to come down, or if you guys want to come forward or just stand where you are, that's fine. We have a little all-age talk for you. I'll at least get you four. Good. I told her she needs to come, so I have at least one child up front. I appreciate you guys up there, though. That's very helpful. So we're a couple days early on this, but today we are celebrating a day called Epiphany. And Epiphany is a day in the church where we remember the wise men and how they followed the star to come and see the newborn Jesus, right? So they followed this star to find Christ. And I think, man, that's pretty amazing, right? You follow a star and it leads you to Jesus. So I thought we would try to recreate what they experienced here this morning. So I don't have a star. I do have a torch or a flashlight, as it's known to us foreigners. So we're going to follow. You know, it's not quite as bright as a star, but also it's not quite as hot. So that's probably a good thing. So we're going to follow this light and see if we can find Jesus or find God through what I shine it on. All right, what do you think? The lectern. How do we see God there? You guys didn't know I was going to ask you questions this morning, right? Well, we read the Bible from there, right? So we hear the word of God from that spot, and that teaches us about Jesus, right? So just like the wise men follow the star, we follow the light, we see Jesus. How about up here? That one's harder for you kids, isn't it? So that's the pulpit. So we also hear the word of God from up there. We meet Jesus through the sermon, or maybe you meet Jesus when the sermon's over. That's fine too. I understand. So how about, let's see, what do we have next? Right here. The table, the altar, as we might call it. A desk. It looks like a big desk. Yeah, so we hear prayers from up here, right? Sometimes we do communion up there, so we see Jesus. As we receive the bread and wine, we see Jesus in the prayers we offer for each other and for the world. I know you see a little Jesus right there, right? That's pretty clear. How about over here? What do you think? Yeah? Yeah, you say the joy that we have in Christmas and celebrating that Jesus was born? Was that pretty close? Okay. So yeah, we see Jesus in the Christmas tree, the joy that we experience, and all the decorations. They remind us of the light that shines in the darkness. The green tree reminds us of life that exists even in the darkness of winter. There's green, there's new life, there's a star on top that reminds us of the wise men, right? I'll try not to blind Tony. Here's the next one. What do you think? I know. And the organ. So we see God through the music that we sing, right? The beautiful words, the beautiful melodies, all this brings us the joy of Christ. We should learn more about God and see God in that as well. Now, how about, I'm trying not to blind you guys while I do this. What about out here? How do we see Jesus in all these people? You're a little shy, I know. We see Jesus through each other, right? Each person here shows kindness. They show love. They show care. We join together in worship. They all care for each other. We learn and we see Jesus through each other, right? Now, what about the last one? Which I know you guys do. Sorry to blind you up there. So just like we see Jesus through the congregation, we see Jesus in one another. I can see Jesus in you because of the unique gifts that you have, the special person God made you to be, and the special person God made you to be and you to be. So just like the wise men followed that star, you know, we see Jesus in one another. And the cool thing is We don't need a star to guide us because we have each other, right? We have one another, and we have all these things that show us Christ. So I want you guys to remember that just like the wise men followed a star, we can also be that light for other people, and we can see that light in other people. So I have some stars here I'm going to give you. I'm going to save a couple pages for you guys, okay? But I'm going to give you these stars. You can put one on yourself, and with people's permission, if you want to put one on them, that's fine too. To remind us that, you know, we don't need a star to lead us to Christ because Christ is in each one of us, and we see Christ through all these other things. All right, I'll let you pull those out for those guys, okay, because they're not coming out very easy. So we'll save a couple pages for you, though, okay? So thank you very much for coming up. And now we continue to look at the light of Christ through singing the hymn 543, Longing for Light, We Wait in Darkness, hymn 543.
Thank you. Good morning. The first reading today comes from Isaiah 60, verses 1 to 6, and can be found on page 620 of the Pew Bibles. Arise, shine, Jerusalem, for your light has come, and over you the glory of the Lord has dawned. Though darkness covers the earth and dark night the nations, on you the Lord shines, and over you his glory will appear. Nations will journey towards your light, and kings to your radiance. Raise your eyes and look around. They are all assembling, flocking back to you. Your sons are coming from afar, your daughters walking beside them. You will see it and be radiant with joy, and your heart will thrill with gladness. Seaborne riches will be lavished on you, and the wealth of the nations will be yours. Camels in droves will cover the land. Young camels from Midian and Ephah, all coming from Sheba, laden with gold and frankincense, heralds of the Lord's praise. And the second part of today's reading comes from Matthew 2, verses 1 to 12, and this can be found on page 1 of the New Testament in the Pew Bibles. Jesus was born at Bethlehem in Judea after the reign of Herod. After his birth, astrologers from the east arrived in Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We observed the rising of his star, and we have come to pay him homage." King Herod was greatly perturbed when he heard this, and so was the whole of Jerusalem. He called together the chief priests and scribes of the Jews and asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "At Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet wrote. Bethlehem in the land of Judah, you are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler to be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod summoned the astrologers to meet him secretly, and ascertained from them the exact time when the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child, and when you have found him, bring me the word so that I may go myself and pay him homage." After hearing what the king had to say, they set out. There before them was the star they had seen rising, and I went ahead of them until it stopped above the place where the child lay. They were overjoyed at the sight of it. And entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and bowed low in homage to him. They opened their treasure chests and presented to him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They then returned to see their own country by another route, for they had been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod. Amen.
We sing together hymn 234, "'Tis Winter Now."
Thank you.
There's an old legend that tells of three travelers on a journey walking single file in a line down a road. And as they traveled, each of them carried two large sacks, one large sack on their front and one large sack on their back. And as they were traveling on their way, they came across another traveler going in the opposite direction. And this stranger saw these men carrying these sacks and was curious. So he stopped the first traveler and asked, "You know, excuse me, can you tell me, what are you carrying in those sacks?" The traveler responded, saying, "Well, in the sack in front of me, I carry all of the bad things that have happened to me in this life. I carry the mistakes that I have made, the worries that I hold, and the many moments of sadness and regret in my life." The stranger then asked, "Well, what about the sack on your back?" "Okay, well, in that sack, I carry the good things that have happened to me in my life. In the midst of all the negativity that I carry, there have been good moments as well, so I carry those with me on my back." And the first traveler then went on his way. Coming then to the second traveler, the stranger also stopped him to ask, you know, what was in his sacks. The traveler said to the man, "Well, in the front sack, I carry all of the good that has happened to me in my life, the love that I have shared, the generosity that I've experienced, the kindness that I've found through strangers, the beauty that I've witnessed." He said, "You see the traveler in front of me, how he walks with his burdens before him. He walks with his head down low and his eyes cast to the ground. He doesn't see the road ahead, but he's only focused on his burdens. I don't want to be like that. So for that reason," he said, "I carry my burdens on my back. However," he said, "I have had many hurts and many disappointments and regrets in my life. So even though I can't see them, they still do weigh me down tremendously." And with that, the second traveler went on his way. And the stranger came upon the third traveler. And as he approached with his sacks, the stranger asked him the same question. "You know, what is it that you carry in those sacks?" The traveler responded, saying, "Well, in the front sack, I carry all of my joys. I carry the many blessings and gifts of God that I have been able to experience in my life, the people I care about, the kindness of family, the smile of a child, the beauty of creation. All of that I carry on my front." And the stranger said, "Well, what about the sack on your back? What do you carry in there?" The traveler glanced back and said, "Oh, that sack has had a hole in it for years. It doesn't carry anything at all. And for that reason," he said, "I toss all my worries, all my regrets, all the negativity, all those bad things that have happened in my life, I toss into that back sack so it just falls right out of the hole onto the road behind me." And as we travel through life, as we make our way down the road on this journey, you know, what is it that we carry with us? You know, how do we carry it? What is it that leads our way? What do we present in front of us? What do we carry with us on our backs? You know, at first glance, it might not seem all that wise to carry with you a sack with a hole in it, but it certainly is wise to know, you know, what to hold on to and what to let go of in this life. There's certainly wisdom in knowing what to hold ahead of us on our journey, wisdom in knowing what to follow as we make our way down the road. Now today, of course, is the 4th of January, which makes it the 11th day of Christmas, and unfortunately, I was unable to gather up 11 pipers to pipe for you this morning to go with the song. I'm in the right place for that, so you think I could have done it, but maybe next year. But without a posse of pipers to present, for now, we're turning our gaze, as we talked about in the all-age talk, we're turning our gaze just a couple of days ahead of us to January 6th, to the Festival of Epiphany, which is a day on which we remember another set of three travelers, or the three wise men, as we often call them, as they make their journey toward Bethlehem. Now, according to our stories and our songs and our traditions, these wise men are scholars or mystics or even maybe kings. And they don't travel with two sacks, but instead they carry with them gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. But I would say, like the travelers in the story, if we were to encounter these wise men on their journey, we might start to stop and question how wise they actually were. In his gospel, Matthew thankfully gives us the story of these wise men, but he doesn't really give us a great deal of information about who these wise men actually were. In fact, the word we translate in our Bibles as wise men, or I think more helpfully in the pew Bibles we have here as astrologers, is the word magoi, which is the plural of the word magi and the root of the word magician. So, as opposed to being three kings, these magicians were probably closer to being astrologers or something like that than what we might think of as wise men. And to further complicate matters, the word magoi doesn't tell us how many of them there were, and it doesn't define what gender they were. All the word really tells us is that there were at least two of them, and at least one of those was a man. So that's really all we get. We only get the number three, the three wise men. We only get that number three from the number of gifts that they bring of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So from what Matthew gives us, we start off knowing that there were at least two magician slash astrologers of undefined genders, which doesn't make nearly as good of a Christmas song as We Three Kings. You know, we two magicians of undefined genders. It's just it's not as catchy. The gospel, to go on, the gospel also doesn't really tell us where these people are coming from, other than that they came from the east. I'm not sure which way east is from here, but if we think about the east, that is a pretty big category. Is that India? Is it China? Is it, I don't know, Alawa? So to be fair, most scholars would guess that these magi came from Persia, Babylon, or the Syrian desert. So primarily the area containing modern-day countries like Iran, Turkey, Iraq, and Syria. But again, even with that, it's a fairly big area. Some of these places are not that far from Jerusalem where they were traveling, or Bethlehem, but some are extremely far. So taking this into account, according to what's given to us in the gospel, what we know about the wise men is that they were a group of at least two and maybe hundreds of magicians or astrologers of undefined genders who traveled anywhere from 100 to over 1,000 miles through the desert, and they did it because they saw a star in the sky. Now, I don't know about you, but if someone were to tell me that they had packed their bags to run off with a group of traveling magicians who were following a star in search of a newborn baby king somewhere in the West, wise man would not be the description that I would give them. So this is a very strange group of travelers. And while, of course, we'd love to know more about them, I think Matthew, the gospel writer, leaves these people, these wise men, as we call them, shrouded in a bit of mystery on purpose. Because in their strangeness, in their uniqueness, there is a powerful lesson. You know, if the gospel had identified exactly who they were and exactly where they were from, we could easily try to pinpoint God's revelation to one particular group of people at one particular moment in time. Instead, we're only given the essential details. And I think we're only given those details so that we don't miss the point of their coming. Because the point isn't who they were or where they were from. The point is that in this strange group of travelers, we see that the reach of God's revelation has no limits. We see that God's presence in Christ is a gift for all people, no matter where they are from or who they are. In the following of a star, we see that God's divine light shines on all nations, even those who might see and follow God in a very different way than us. So in this group of strange foreigners, we are reminded that the revelation of God and Jesus Christ wasn't just for those people who look and think and act like we do, but it was and it is for all people everywhere, even people of distant lands, distant religions, or distant ideologies. So wise people, astrologers, magicians, whatever we call them, their story is very much worth including in our songs, in our celebrations, and in our nativities, because the arrival of these people shows us that the grace and presence of God can't be contained by the boundaries that we set for it, or the borders that we create in our lives and in our world and even in our theologies. These wise people show us that when we follow the light of Christ, that light can lead us anywhere. And they show us that when we follow the light of Christ, that light can come from anywhere. Now, as I mentioned earlier, we recognize the coming of the wise men with the celebration we call Epiphany. And the word Epiphany simply means manifestation or showing or shining forth. And there's a Scottish minister, a theologian named John Philip Newell, who writes about the birth of Christ, and he writes about Epiphany. And he says that, you know, talking about this divine light, he says, "Divine light shines forth from this child, but it should not so much be understood as the appearance of God, but more as the transparence of God. The divine light that shines in the child is not a foreign light to the earth, but it is the light at the heart of all life. It is the light from which all things come." Now, I appreciate this understanding and explanation because it grasps the truth that Jesus' birth was not just a one-time show. It was not just a one-time manifestation or a solitary appearance. It was not something that was just meant for those privileged people who were there to be a part of this small group who were able to be with Jesus 2,000 years ago. But instead, in Jesus Christ, God became transparent so that every person of every time, of every place, might be able to see and know and recognize the light of Christ. So that people from all over the world, wise and foolish, foreign and strange, men and women, and everything in between, all people might know the love of God and follow the light and love of Jesus wherever it shines and wherever it leads. And we celebrate and remember the Magi, the wise men, because they followed a star which led them to a newborn Christ. And as I mentioned earlier, following stars for hundreds of miles through the desert to find a baby is not something we might think of as particularly wise by today's standards. But in the Magi, on Epiphany, we learn through these people to look beyond the places where we might ordinarily expect to see God. So as we consider the Epiphany, the question for us is, where might we look for God's presence? Where are those unexpected places where we might look to see God and the world around us? Where might we recognize God in creation or see God in the people that we encounter? And the secondary question is, as we go on our journey, you know, what is it that we carry with us? What is it that we carry before us? As we seek to follow Christ and walk the road that we are led on, as we are led, are we led by our fears and by our worries or by our prejudices or regrets? Or instead, on the other side, do we carry a sack with a hole in it as we're led by God's grace, as we follow the light of Christ? And today we remember how at the very beginning, wise people from all over the known world followed a star. They followed a light. And today we know that that light has not stopped shining. And this is what we celebrate on Epiphany and throughout this season, that the light and love of God has appeared to all people and continues to shine forth to and through each of us. And just as that light reaches the farthest edges of our world, so that light also shines in the deepest places of our lives. So throughout this season and every season, may we also be wise people. May we look for God in unexpected places and see God in unexpected ways. And no matter where our journey takes us, may we carry that light and love of God ahead of us. May we always seek to follow the light, to follow God's leading, no matter how wise or unwise it may seem, so that in following that light, we too might find grace and forgiveness and peace at the manger of Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. We sing together the hymn, "We Three Kings," although it might have a different name, but we'll sing the hymn, "We Three Kings," as it is printed in the handout you received on your way in. Let us offer God our prayers of thanksgiving and intercession. Let us pray. Today, Lord God, we offer our thanks and praise, for on this day and throughout this season, your mercy speaks. As the light grows in our world, your grace and your love envelop our lives, and your light shines not only in our lives in this place, but upon the whole world, that no person, no community, no continent, no rock or tree, no child or aged person, no stranger or traveler is left untouched by your love. As we begin this new year, we lift our prayers for new beginnings, for hopes renewed, for plans reframed, for peace restored, for love reborn, for journeys continued. Hear our prayers today. For private things that we carry within our homes and our hearts that have brought joy, for the delight of loved ones who have blessed our days over this holiday season, for generosity shared and for reminders of our deepest cares, we give you thanks. Lord, for the things in full view of the world that have brought us hope, for harvest, for sunshine, for people and organizations that work for the needs of the poor, the hope of the vulnerable, and the safety of those in danger, we give you thanks. Help us, Lord, to live in your light, that we might trust in you and live in care and live in service toward others. And gracious God, as your light shines on all things, so too the needs of this world come to light. So we ask for your love, grace, and mercy upon all those who carry with them the heavy burdens of this life. As the time of Christmas passes, we lift all to you who are reminded of the pains and difficulties that were hidden for a time beneath the decoration and busyness of the season. We pray for those who find themselves lonely or overwhelmed or worried. We pray for those in difficult relationships and for those who struggle with unemployment or economic uncertainty. Lord, encircle them with your mercy and lead them by your light. As we remember a child born in a stable, we pray for those who are left out on the margins because of indifference or hatred or cruelty or fear or any one of a number of reasons. Lord, we pray for women who suffer violence, for families who face separation, for friendships surrendered, and for communities that are on edge. Holy God, for a world that is so often uneasy with itself, we pray. Embolden us in your love and lead us by your light. Lord, as the words of the angels still echo in our minds, saying peace on earth and goodwill to all, we pray for those who suffer from war, violence, or tragedy, for the families of those who lost their lives in the New Year's fire in Switzerland, for the people of Ukraine, Palestine, Sudan, for the situation in Venezuela, and for so many other places where peace is desperately needed. Comfort all with your love and bring your promised peace. Eternal God, hear our prayers for those who at this time of new beginnings are nearing their end. We ask your grace on those whose health falters, those whose strength weakens, and those who feel the frustration and frailty of age. Strengthen them with your presence and lead us all by your light. With the joy of Christ's birth in our hearts and the light of your love before us, we lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your boundless mercy and your eternal love through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. And we sing together our closing hymn, hymn 448, Shine, Jesus, Shine, hymn 448. Thank you. As a reminder, everyone is invited to stay after the service for a time of fellowship and refreshment here with warm tea. Now receive the benediction. And now go with the light and love of God before you, carrying your joys and following the light of Christ along your way. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit remain with you now and be with you forevermore.